You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please dump your junk after the tone.
Hello, Every Little Thing. My question is about space junk. I know there's got to be lots of it up there, and I want to know, do they know where it all is? I think sometimes it falls back down to Earth. Do they have to worry about where it's going to go, if it's going to hit stuff? The name's Ryan. Love the show.
Hello?
Hey, Ryan, it's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora.
So, space junk.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about stuff that humans shoot up into space and then leave there. Basically, the stuff that never gets dragged out to the space curb and put in the proper blue bin.
Exactly.
Why did you take this dump in the sky question to us?
I think it was when SpaceX put that Tesla up there.
Right now in space, that's Elon Musk's own Tesla convertible in orbit.
The payload on this test launch is Musk's midnight cherry Tesla Roadster with a dummy named Starman. It's headed for an elliptical orbit.
It seems so strange. And then I got to thinking about everything else that's in space. And I know it's big. I mean, there's a lot of space out there, but things have got to start getting cluttered.
What do you imagine is up there?
There's satellites, fuel cells and stuff from shuttles, tools floating around in there.
Butterfingers astronaut, let something go.
Exactly. I mean, it happens. It has to. They're not perfect. And I thought, where does it all go? Is there a potential for me to find something on the ground that came from space, a piece of a satellite or the hubcap from a Tesla?
There is potential, Ryan, and we found someone with firsthand experience.
I'm Lottie, L-O-T-T-I-E Williams, and I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I made history by being the first and only person to have been hit by a piece of space debris.
She got hit by it?
Yes, but she was okay, I'm glad to say.
When you tell people about things like this, at first they can't believe it, and then you say, well, just Google my name. So they Google my name, and then it's, oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Oh, man.
So here's the story of Lottie's brush with space rubbish.
It was January 22nd, 1997.
Lottie and two of her friends were out for their morning constitutional in a big park in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And when I say morning, I mean that only in a technical way. It was 3:30 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, let's look at it like this here. You know, people that walk during the middle of the day, things always come up.
It's true.
At that time of the morning, you don't have to worry about it. You can't come up with any excuse why you can't walk unless you just don't want to get up out of bed. I mean, you know, and there were a lot of retired people out there. We liked getting it out of the way. I mean, we had to park to ourselves.
So Lottie and her friends were looping around the north edge of the park when something caught their eye.
It was a huge ball of fire shooting across the sky. You know, I don't know how many miles an hour it was going, but I mean, it was moving. And I saw these three sparks come from it.
Was there a sound?
No. That's one of the most amazing things. There was no sound. No sound at all. And, you know, I have always wondered, I don't know if you ever watched these TV programs, sci-fi, but people just standing there screaming and not moving. We weren't screaming or anything, but we weren't moving either. And I couldn't understand why those people were never moved, you know. But that morning, it was so mesmerizing, you couldn't move. I mean, it was like, you were just stuck.
It'd be tough to stay calm in that situation, I think. All sorts of things would be going through your mind. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get dramatic or anything, but maybe you start thinking end of the world type stuff.
Well, Lottie and the friend she was walking with all had different theories about what they'd seen.
The guy who had been in the military, he said, that's probably an airplane. The other lady that was there, she thought it was a spaceship, and she still do to this day if she's still alive, because the last I talked to her, she said that they'll never tell me the truth.
Lottie had her own hypothesis based on a celestial sighting she'd had the year before.
Back on my birthday, I actually saw my first shooting star. And I was doing a modified sit-up that ended up being a full sit-up because when I saw that, you know, I kind of thought the sky was falling or what have you. So that's what I originally thought it was.
About 30 minutes after the fireball went out of sight, Lottie was rounding the park's football stadium when she heard a rustle in some nearby branches. And then something touched her.
It hit me on my left shoulder. I thought it was somebody, you know, tapping me on the shoulder.
And remember, it's like 4 a.m. at this point.
Yeah.
So I took off running. And then when I heard it hit the ground, that's when I turned back and looked at it. And I saw that it was a black object on the ground.
And?
You know, they say curiosity kills the cat. Well, it was bothering me so bad. I said, Lord, I got to know what this is. And so I kicked it into the light.
Oh, man.
And this is what she saw. We're going to send you a picture, and we'll also put it on Spotify and Instagram.
Oh, my gosh. It's cool. It's hard. Obviously, it looks metal, but wrinkly. Bigger, maybe, than I thought even it would be.
It fits in the palm of your hand, basically. And it weighs less than an empty pop can.
But do we even know what it's made of or what it came from or anything like that?
Lottie had no idea. So she started calling anyone she could think of to try to figure out what exactly had fallen from the sky.
Tulsa County Library, I called them that morning. I called an astronomy club because after all, I'm thinking I had a piece of a star. She gave me the number to the weather place. He said an experimental rocket returned from outer space. And he said, but there was no reports of anybody getting hit. I said, well, I did. He started laughing. And I mean, he probably thought I was a crackpot because I'm sure everybody else did.
But he dropped a clue that a rocket might have been involved. So Lottie pressed on to the Air National Guard.
Well, this young man answered the phone, bless his heart. I always keep, every time I say that, I say bless his heart. But he said, oh my goodness, he said, did you get hurt? You want to speak to our doctors and stuff? I said, hon, I said, I didn't get hurt. I said, I'm trying to return something that belonged to you people.
After a few more dead ends, Lottie finally got some answers.
Oh, man.
The odds are, you know, ones per billions, ones per trillion. It's just minuscule.
That's after the break. So are you ready for part two?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so after searching heaven and earth for someone who knew what hit her, Lottie finally found an organization with answers.
CORD, the Center for Orbital Reentry Debris Study.
So we gave them a call.
Hello, Ryan.
Ryan, I want to introduce you to Ted Muehlhopp.
My name is Ted Muehlhopp, pronounced like donkey jump.
Okay.
That's his intro. What can I say?
I like it.
So Ted runs CORDS, a nonprofit organization that tracks the trash orbiting Earth and the flotsam that falls back down.
He tracks it, eh?
Yes, which is why he could help solve Lottie's mystery.
Yes, so what happened was when Ms. Williams got hit by that piece, she sent us the object that she'd been struck by, and we analyzed it and sent it back.
CORDS analyzed the sample to figure out what kind of metal it was, and they cross-referenced the time and location of Lottie's sighting with the space junk re-entries in their database.
And we're pretty sure that it was a piece of insulation from a Delta II tank that fell mostly into Texas.
A Delta II tank. This is a fuel tank or something?
Yes, it's a fuel tank from a rocket that launched a missile defense satellite into orbit the year before.
Whoa.
So here's what happened. The satellite the rocket was carrying continued into outer space, but the tank dropped off closer to Earth. And then over the course of a few months, Earth's gravity slowly pulled that tank closer and closer to Earth until it hit our atmosphere.
What happens is that it starts to break up at about 70 kilometers or so in altitude. And as it comes apart, the lightweight stuff falls out first. And so for this particular reentry, the heavier objects landed in this farmer's field in Texas, and one of the lightweight pieces of insulation came down and struck Miss Williams in Oklahoma.
And fuel tanks like this one aren't the only space junk Cords tracks. The Earth is surrounded by a corona of garbage made up of all kinds of space hardware.
Discarded rocket bodies and satellites that no longer function and, discarded hatch covers.
There are an estimated 22,000 pieces of traceable space junk whizzing around the planet.
22,000? Wow, okay.
But remember that we're only tracking a small fraction of the debris in orbit.
Cords can only keep tabs on things bigger than a softball. But there are tens of millions of tiny trashlets, paint chips, shards of old satellites, every litter thing zooming around the planet at 10 times the speed of a bullet.
Whoa.
So all those objects, large and small, are a big problem if you're looking to send something into outer space. Speeding trash can smash into satellites, and it can make it impossible to launch stuff safely.
Things as small as a peanut M&M are pretty much guaranteed to destroy your spacecraft. And virtually anything we leave in orbit is going to get pitted with tiny objects. So it's not a matter of whether, it's a matter of when.
That's crazy to me. I never would have expected that.
Yeah. And Lottie is living proof that you don't have to be in orbit to get decked by space droppings. You can be in a park in Tulsa at 3:30 in the morning.
Wow. Yeah.
Because that extraterrestrial garbage, at least the stuff that gets dumped close to Earth, is eventually going to phone home.
Objects that are big enough to track, that's coming out of orbit typically about once per day. And the pace is picking up because we're launching a lot more stuff.
Once per day?
Yeah. Every day, a chunk of junk the size of a softball or larger falls back to Earth from space. But where that piece of junk is going to land, that's really hard to figure out.
Remember that this thing goes all the way around the planet once every about 90 minutes. And so it's a, you know, can be quite the trick for you to even get it in the right hemisphere. And if you're off by so much as a minute, that footprint is going to move along the ground hundreds of miles.
Wow. So Lottie's one person we know who found something, but, you know, other people could have easily found something and either didn't report it or didn't know what it was.
Exactly.
We get a report of somebody finding some object that may have come from space probably about once a year. I got contacted by TV Globo in Brazil. A tank had fallen into a town and it knocked down a farmer's cashew tree and left a big dent in the ground.
Wow.
He wanted to know who was going to pay for his cashew tree.
Well, I was going to ask, who's responsible for the damage?
Well, under UN treaty, the launching nation holds absolute liability forever and ever. But if it's a commercial company launching a Korean and a Thai satellite on a French rocket from off the coast of Brazil and it lands there, well, now it's going to get tangled and lawyers are going to have lots to say.
I hear billable hours.
I have no idea whether that farmer ever got paid or not.
I wonder, I don't want to think about it, but, you know, that would easily, it took out a cashew tree, that's going to kill somebody.
Yeah, should we add getting pancaked by space junk to our worry list?
Well, we look at statistically, what are the odds that a person could be injured? And the Earth is 3/4 covered by water, and so, you know, 3 out of 4, it's going to go in the ocean. Because if you randomly throw a rock at Earth from space, you're going to hit ocean 3 out of 4 times. And if you don't hit ocean, you might hit the Arctic or you might hit a desert. So the odds are pretty good it's going to land a place that people aren't just from the start.
Plus, Ted says, most of the objects that do fall down break up into pieces so small, you wouldn't even notice them.
Right.
So the chances of getting struck by space junk, like Lottie did, are really, really low.
The odds are, you know, ones per billions, ones per trillion. It's just minuscule.
So, Ryan, did we answer your question? Is there anything you still want to know about Lottie's story?
I guess did she get to keep it? Or maybe now I'm thinking that, you know, some guys in sunglasses and dark suits come and take it away.
So the answer is yes, she has it.
Oh, that's good. In a shadow box up over the fireplace.
Actually, she wouldn't tell us where she keeps it.
I got it stored in a very specific place. That's all I ever tell people.
I like another layer of mystery.
One day I'm thinking about donating it to the Tulsa Air and Space Museum if they want it, you know, so they can display it for people to see.
Do you look at trash differently now? When you see trash on the ground, do you give it a second look?
I do, because you never know. You never know.
Yeah, maybe that tin can isn't just a tin can. You know, who knows?
Every Little Thing is produced by Caitlin O'Keefe, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Bobby Lord, Emma Munger, and Dara Hirsch. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. ELT is a Spotify original podcast. I have space junk in my trunk. Goodbye.
Now, did you want to hear a space joke?
I would love to.
So it's a little out there. That's the first part. You didn't get it. The space joke is out there.
I love it.
But here's the actual joke. Who is the president of Mars?
Who's the president of Mars? Tell me.
Ronald Reagan.